You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built. We're joined by Carleen Bassett. So Carleen, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm good. Well, thank you very much. It's very, very exciting moment for Canadian tennis. There's no doubt about that. My gosh.
Oh, there is. Now, before we get to that, though, did you get to meet the littlest hobo when you were on the show?
Pardon me. What did you say?
Did you get to meet the littlest, the dog of the littlest hobo when you were on that
episode?
Yes, I did.
Of course I got to meet the dog.
Oh.
There was two of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They had two of them. But yes, I did. God, you're going way, way, way back. That's like the days of oh my gosh, the youth for sure.
Well, that, you know, it's fun. I was doing a lot of research. I'm really excited to have you on. You really put women's Canadian tennis on the map back in the 80s. I remember watching it as a youngster, and you were a youngster yourself, for goodness sakes. You're 16 years of age. You're up against Chris Evert. You kind of stormed your way through to that U.S. Open, and there was her and Martina Navratilova, who obviously two of the best players. Now, you were a little bit different than Fernandez here because, like, you were a 14 seed. It wasn't kind of like out of nowhere a bit. But still, anytime you get to a semifinal, there's no guarantee. Can you maybe talk about did you sense pressure when you're only 16 getting into a semifinal, or you're almost that youthful ignorance that you don't know how big it is?
You know what? Actually, I didn't really feel the pressure because I had junior success, and also, I mean, I really feel like Layla feels the same way in a lot of ways because she comes from a military background like I did with Nick Bollettieri. With her father being a former soccer player and things like that. So it almost kind of feels natural because you come up through the juniors, and if you're used to winning, you almost come into the mindset that you believe that you actually can beat, you know, the top players. You know, it's all kind of groomed from your youth to come into those, you know, Grand Slam events. And I look at these two girls, and they're just they're phenomenal, like in every way, and they're really bringing women's tennis to a whole different level, and it's so encouraging to see.
And you were extremely young because you were on tour, I think, when you were 14. Carly, I know there's this, like, that's crazy in the 14 years of age, and you're battling against, you know, the best women in the world, and you're just a young girl at that time. You mentioned the pressure you'd kind of block that out a little bit, but you look back on those years, how fun was it? Fun, like, was it awesome, or were there times where it was struggles because you were a teenager?
No, it was great because, you know, I really kind of from the time I was 13, I was playing the juniors, like junior French and you know, the junior Wimbledon, where that was, I think, my first year, or 13 or 14. But you know, and being from Canada gave me that opportunity because, you know, there weren't a lot of juniors at that time. So no, it's fun. You know, you don't think like that at all when you're young. You know, you it's not like when you get older and you're actually thinking about what you're doing. You feel like invincible, and you know, all the millions of hours that you practice, and you just come in and you just come in naturally. I want to say it's a natural feeling. And you know, when you're used to winning, it just kind of grooms you up as you keep going up in the rankings. So I enjoyed it immensely in the traveling, and I was very fortunate to have a great team with me, and it was a lot of fun. You know, of course there's pressures later on, but you know, that comes with the territory, as you can see with some of the player, what's going on with some of the players right now.
Yeah, Carleen Bassett-Saguso joins us. How did you get into tennis? Who was the person that pushed you, or was it something that you picked up a racket one day and you were just like, I love it?
Well, actually, no, it didn't happen like that. I was really into the ponies and the horses. You know, my dad was a former Davis Cup player and squash player, and he loved tennis. And so, you know, my older sister was brilliant at it. And then, you know, I just came on along behind her. And then my dad was looking at some land in Longboat Key, Florida, and it happened to be beside Resort the Colony, where Nick Bollettieri, you know, was training, and he heard about this great coach. And, you know, the two met, and the next thing you know, I mean, within not even 2 weeks, I was shipped down to live with him at his house in Longboat Key, among, you know, some other great, you know, players. So that's how it all started.
And it started, and you had a fantastic career. And the thing that, honestly, I did not know until I was researching before this interview that you know, you got married to Robert Scusso in 1987. You were, I think, 20 years of age, and then you guys had your first son in March of 1988, and 6 months later, you know, you're in the third round of the U.S. Open. Like, that's amazing to me, because I've seen my wife, and, you know, it's a big challenge, you know, giving birth, and then here you are, you're playing elite-level athletics at the same time. How are you able to balance motherhood and the pro tour at the same time?
Well, you know, at that time, I was very fortunate. I had a nanny, and, you know, I had my mom, and I, you know, had, you know, a lot of people around me, and I was traveling while I was pregnant, you know, with Rob. I never really stopped playing. I actually played up until my fourth month of pregnancy, you know, with Holden. So I didn't really kind of get into the whole, like, motherhood thing right away. I started training right away. So I stayed in that pro, kind of that professional atmosphere. Because once you do really settle down and do the children thing, it's almost impossible to come back at any, like, level that you currently were at prior. Just because it's such a demanding, you know, sport, not just physically, but mentally. And unless you're staying in anything, you know, consistently, it's very hard to, you know, keep it going. But, yes, it, once I had Carling, you know, there was no way that I could have come back. And I tried to come back, but it wasn't nearly, you know, nearly as good as it was, you know, with Holden.
Yeah, and that's one of the challenges, and, you know, for women professional athletes, is you almost have to choose your career or children at some point. It's really difficult. Like Serena Williams, late in her career, after having one of the greatest careers ever in tennis, is now a mother. But, you know, she played for so long. Is that's just something maybe that, you know, as a man, I didn't really think about for really that clearly till I read up on it. I'm like, yeah, like, that's, men don't really have to deal with that. They can be a parent, but they can still play.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the way it is when you're the woman and have to have the child.
Yeah.
But, you know, and in our situation, it worked out brilliant, you know, like Rob's career kept going. And, you know, we were very fortunate we could travel as a family, which I think is very important also. And then, you know, our first three children, you know, played at a high level, and we kind of kept the tennis, you know, going, and we built the academy. And so we really never lost the, you know, the whole tennis thing. But, but you know, we understood that going into it. You know, we had talked about that. And, you know, once I was ready to retire or just kind of not play as much, you know, I was ready. It's too exhausting. And once you start losing, then it becomes no fun at all.
Yeah. Tennis, it's a sport that still a lot of us don't play other than recreationally. And I think a lot of people, they play hockey, so they kind of have a sense a little bit, well, I went to practice three times a week and stuff. Like, when you're 13 and 14, like, obviously you have to eat, breathe, and live tennis, but can you kind of take us through, even now, like, today's athletes, like, what does it look like to be a professional tennis player? Like, what's the commitment level at the time?
I think it's the toughest sport. I really do. I mean, because you really have to dedicate your whole day to this sport, because not only do you have to be physically in top shape, you have to be mentally there, and you can't rely on anybody else other than yourself. I mean, once you go out there, and what people don't even realize is a match is sometimes dictated only by 4 or 5 points of who's winning it. So when you really think about that, you just have to mentally be there all the time. And there's not a lot of breathing room, you know, for failure. And I mean, and just the training alone, it's an all year round sport too, which makes it more difficult. But, you know, and that's why I have so much respect for the game now, more than I ever did, just because so many people are playing it now. Like, and you know, the only unfortunate part about it is you really do have to give up your whole life from a very young age now, because nobody goes to school anymore. And because it demands, you know, the full day. So you really have to have the passion and the love for it. And that's what's so great to see about these two young girls, you know, with Layla. I mean, she really is showing, you know, tennis, you know, the game of, like, loving it at such a young age and academically doing the same thing, which to me is brilliant.
Carling Bassett-Sagusso joins us discussing the U.S. Open. Of course, Layla Fernandez into her first final of a Grand Slam. And on the way, she beat four top 20-ranked players.
Top,
like, unbelievable.
Sensational. I know. It's interesting because I didn't know a whole lot about her. I did my research, too. And I did see her play Osaka, and I thought, wow, this girl is a dynamo. And she's like this all pint-sized. But what I loved so much about her was her confidence and the level of her just determination And the way you could just see the focus, and she really believes. Well, obviously you can see that now, but, and so it was so refreshing to see this, and I'm really excited for the final, tomorrow. I think it's, and I guess they played in 2018 at Wimbledon, and, it's going to be a heck of a match.
When you watch this, does it take you back a little bit? Because, you know, it's a young Canadian, you know, maybe even Jeannie Bouchard. You've got Bianca as well. She won it 2 years ago. Like, you know, there was kind of a long gap between a female Canadian tennis player who was, you know, a legit competitor. Now, you know, Jeannie had that unbelievable whole calendar year where she was in every major quarterfinal and semifinal. Bianca's won, and now Fernanda. Like, how much pride do you take as kind of being a little bit of a pioneer for Canadian tennis?
Well, I don't ever really think of it like that. The only thing that I hope that maybe, you know, that I contributed a little bit to is inspiring other people to get into the game, because I think Tennis Canada has done a phenomenal job on executing, you know, what they have, you know, since, you know, I was playing and et cetera. And it really goes to show you how, you know, when a country can get behind their players and really make it happen, it can happen. And it's incredible what Canada's produced in the last 10 years. It's phenomenal, especially on the women's side. And it's only getting better.
Oh, it's... Yeah. Well, and we got Felix right now in the semifinals, and, you know, Shapovalov, like Canadian tennis, both men and women it's so exciting for me to watch as a Canadian.
I'm thinking of the women right now.
No,
I like in this.
Yes. Yeah.
The limelight of the male.
No, totally. But it's kind of to think that, like, in any given tournament now, you can have a few Canadians, and even Gabby Dabrowski, who had an awful situation today. Her partner had a serious leg injury in the semifinals of women's doubles, and so they had to retire, unfortunately, for her.
Oh, that's awful.
So that happened. And so you think, like, there's three Canadian women, Bianca, that were legit contenders. Then you throw in Felix and Chapo, and now you go to every tournament, and Canadian tennis fans, like, I think they watch, and it's like, if you have a son or a daughter who plays tennis right now, like, they've got legit options to watch and think that that's possible.
Well, you know what? Anything's possible, like, really, when you get behind winners and you believe. I mean, and that's what's so wonderful about, you know, the sport, and especially what's going on with, you know, Canadian tennis right now, is there is that. And it'll be interesting to see in the future. I mean, because right now it's, you know, my husband and I talk about this, like, there's no Americans. I mean, it's amazing how the Canadians are just really, we're on fire. And it's something to be very proud of as a nation and a country. And all of these players, and they're so young, which is great. You know, I mean, it's just the beginning.
Yeah, and your husband Robert's American, so do you have a fun few little jabs there right now, the Canadian domination on tennis?
Well, you know, he's not really into tennis at all anymore, but, you know, he just thinks it's kind of an embarrassment, you know, because we come from such a big country, you know, we live in the United States, and, like, here we have, you know, such a big country with so many players, and he just looks at it more as a weakness. In the sense of, like, that it's just too easy. And, you know, but I look at it, to be quite honestly, as the family that's just behind these players and the team that's behind it, because people don't realize the dedication it takes from the very beginning. You know, you can put any country behind your name, but it really comes down to, like, who's behind you from the very young age.
Carlin, you talked a little bit about Leyla Fernandez, and she's just a firecracker on the court.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're obviously, when you get to that level, they're all elite players, right? When you get to majors, you get a quarterfinal. How much does body language, like, how can you influence your opponent? I don't know if intimidation is the right word, but, like, that just relentless drive, does it get into the psyche of an opponent?
Well, you know, I feel with her, actually, it's a very natural being. You know, I mean, every time that she's been in an interview, she really expresses the sacrifice her family's made. And like, the, you know, the background of her dad being in soccer and having, like, a very military-style, like, way of training. And how her mom had to go to California for 2 years to support the family. I mean, all of that right there tells me the body language is going to be a fighter. And the positive, you know, aspect behind that. So, and it's natural. Like, you can't do what she's doing and it not being natural. And just the way she's so humble, and, you know, she has so much humility in the way she speaks, and her, and, you know, you know, in her interviews afterwards. So, it's easy to say, oh, like she's, you know, does that help? Of course it helps, but I think she just naturally has that, you know, regardless of whether she's playing at the U.S. Open or anywhere. And it was just a matter of time before all of this was put together in a dream tournament for her to excel and to really push her up to a whole different level now.
And lastly, can you talk about, like, this is her coming out party. She's obviously, you know, 73rd. She'd been improving. But now, like, people are like, wow, it's Leila Fernandez. I think opponents probably take her even more serious. Not that they didn't before, but it's just a different era. How do as an athlete in that sport, what's the next step? What goes along to ensure that you're ready to take on that challenge now?
Well, this is the biggest step, I think, you know, from exactly right here that you're talking about. I mean, now it's got to be orchestrated very, you know, cautiously, just because everybody and anybody is going to be all over her. And she's a little powerhouse. So, you know, I just think she needs to take her time, you know, enjoy this moment, but then put a plan together that's solid, you know, it's not crazy. And most importantly, something that she knows she's going to keep winning. Because I really believe you have to be winning 3-1 to be able to maintain that type of, you know, winner's attitude. So I just hope that, you know, they don't push her forward too quickly. And I don't think they will. I think everything so far has been implemented beautifully, you know, to her success to date. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. But I would be very surprised if it isn't done the way it should be done.
Quickly, you said 3-1, so you're saying you should win 3 out of every 4 matches, kind of moving forward.
The brain is like, yeah. If the brain is used to losing, you're gonna get to deuce or, you know, add out. In my case, it was more of a negative than a positive. So you have to have like 3 positives to 1 negative, Listen, we go into our heads every time, you know, we get into any situation, and the best thing that you can do is not think. And when you don't have to think and you're used to winning, you believe it naturally. So your body and everything that you do, just it performs at as you're going to win the point. And that's why you get upset when you lose it. And it's like, oh gosh, or, you know, but yeah, I truly believe that. I believe that confidence is just so massive in any game, especially when you're, you know, performing at an individual level.
That's really insightful, and that's why I love having former athletes on who played at elite level, because there's things maybe that we don't think about. And in tennis specifically, because it's an individual sport, there's no one, like, obviously you have coaches, but once the match is on, it's you against your opponent. Whereas team sports, you know, sometimes if you're a little bit off, your teammate can pick you up and help you. But in tennis, it's I guess maybe unless you're in doubles, it's you or no one else. And Carleen, I really appreciate you taking some time to join us today and share your thoughts. I know you'll be watching tomorrow, as many Canadians will, and watching Felix today. It's great time for women's tennis in Canada with Bianca and Leila, and maybe sometime in the future we could see those two women go head to head in a final of a Grand Slam.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure it's nice to see Bianca back too, because she's such a great one to watch. Also, I've missed watching her.
Yeah, she's a force. I love it. Thank you so much, Carleen. Have a great weekend.
Okay, you too. Thanks.